In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This gospel reading this morning relates the much-loved story of two of Jesus' closest friends, and indeed disciples, Martha and Mary of Bethany, whose brother was Lazarus, whom Jesus would raise from the dead. Anyway, they were from the town of Bethany, which was near Jerusalem. And the gospel is a mere four verses, so let's just hear it again. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost not thou care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I've often thought that volunteers who do a lot of the necessary and often overlooked work for the church, you know, hospitality people, the altar guild, Roy, should sort of like organize and name themselves the St. Martha's Guild. It's certainly true that every Sunday and whenever we have a party or a luncheon or whatever, members of our church, and Father Paul and I too for that matter, seem often like Martha to be cumbered about much serving. And there's been more than one occasion, I'm sure, when those members of the church and Christian communities like Martha felt that they were left alone to serve. And I'm sure we've all felt that way before, undertaking duties of hospitality in the home or serving others in one capacity or another, having worn ourselves out serving others while those others take their ease and enjoy the fruit of our service. Indeed, as you read this gospel, Martha's indignation, and I think she is indignant, seems to be justified. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I think if we're honest with ourselves, this word from the Lord seems a little bit cruel. But that's all right. I've often said, and it's true, that the gospel is not a bunch of simple platitudes that are there to make us feel good about ourselves or turn us into nice people. A lot of people think that that's what the gospel is for, that that's what Jesus is for, that that's what our faith is for, to make us nicer to one another and to make us feel good about ourselves. A lot of people think that these days, but in all honesty, I think that that is one of the deadliest lies that afflicts American Christianity in the year 2019. The gospel rather should trouble us. If we are never a little bitten by the gospel, if we're never a little bit offended by it, if it never really stings us, then we're probably not reading it right, or more likely, we're not reading it at all, which is worse. The gospel should provoke a range of responses in its readers, in us, and it should occasionally offend us, confront us, and challenge us. The whole point of the gospel, the whole point of Christ coming to earth is, in fact, so that we can be changed. And we can't be changed if we're just confirmed in our self-opinions. Honestly, I think that this is how I feel about this story. And I feel a little embarrassed to report that my boss said this to Martha. I'm talking about Jesus, not Father Paul. It's a little embarrassing that Jesus says this to Martha, this kind of cruel thing, when she does seem a little bit to be a victim of injustice. So what does it mean? What's this gospel about? Firstly, we should notice that the Lord does not say that what Martha is doing is bad. He just implies that what Mary is doing is better. My old buddy St. Augustine asked in a commentary on this passage, must we think that blame was cast upon the service of Martha, who was engaged in the cares of hospitality and rejoiced in having so great a guest as Jesus? If this be true, then let men give up ministering to the needy. Let them be at leisure intent only upon getting wholesome knowledge, taking no care whatsoever what stranger is in the village in want of bread. Let works of mercy be unheeded, and knowledge only be cultivated. That is, knowledge only be cultivated. If it's true that what Martha is doing is bad and that she's to be rebuked, then we should give up helping other people, give up hospitality, give up serving the poor and so forth, and just focus on studying the word and prayer. But of course, what Mary was doing was, in fact, meritorious. She was serving others. St. Theophylact of Ohrid, whom I quoted a few weeks ago, in his commentary on this passage, says that our Lord does not forbid hospitality, but he forbids the troubling about many things. That is to say, he forbids hurry and anxiety. And notice the wisdom of our Lord, Theophylact says, in that at first he said nothing to Martha, but when she sought to tear away her sister from hearing the word of the Lord, then the Lord took occasion to reprove her. For hospitality is ever honored as long as it keeps us to necessary things. But when it begins to hinder us from attending to what is of more importance, then it is plain that the hearing of the divine word is the more honorable. So hospitality and serving other people are good things. St. Paul himself says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. But we always have to remember that those are not ends in themselves. And St. Paul also says that all these good things, prophecies, speech, knowledge, all of these things will pass away. There's only one truly necessary thing, that one thing needful, Jesus says, that good part which shall not be taken away. One thing. So what is that good part that Mary has chosen? It is to sit at the feet of Jesus and to receive what he gives. Jesus himself said that the Son of Man came not to be served, like Martha, but to serve and to give himself as a ransom for many. And he came to serve all that is needful in us, all that we need, all that we lacked. And to be served by him is that good part, that one thing needful. That alone will never be taken away from those who choose it. And all service, all of our service, all of our hospitality, all of the good things that we do, all of it finds its value in relation to Jesus, to what we receive from him. Jesus, who took the form of a servant, as Paul says in Philippians, and everything else will pass away. A few weeks ago, I shared with you the beautiful exhortation that I have found very moving in my own spiritual life, in my own life. The little passage that was found in the prayer book of St. Teresa of Avila that she had scribbled in the margin. It's not really a prayer because it's not addressing God, but it's like a bon mot or something, you know, just a word that she had written in the margin of her breviary. It said, let nothing disturb you, let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away. Todo se pasa, she said in Spanish. Let nothing disturb you, let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away, but God never changes. Patience achieves everything. He who has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. All things are passing away. Todo se pasa. But he who has God lacks nothing. Therefore, Mary of Bethany, who chose to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear his word, Mary chose the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her, because God alone suffices. Fine, so what does that have to do with us? What are we supposed to do? What's the moral of this story, you might say? Well, we must always be mindful of the one thing needful and cultivate it within ourselves. And that is to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear his word. And we have to always remember that literally everything else in our lives, everything else that we do, finds its value only in relation to this one thing needful. Everything must serve this end, and everything must be empowered and impelled by this one thing. It was only when Martha sought to take her sister away from hearing the word of Jesus that the Lord reproved her. I want to leave you with two concrete points. Firstly, we have to cultivate this one thing needful within ourselves and within our lives. We have to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. The question is, though, how do you do that? You do it by prayer, and remembering that prayer is as much about listening as it is about speaking. The kind of prayer that says, "Lord, give me a pony," is a little immature and a little superficial. But listening for the voice of the Lord in your heart requires some spiritual maturity and some practice. But that's the kind of prayer that we must cultivate to receive what Jesus would give to us and to hear what he would speak. We hear the Lord's word also in the gospel and scripture, and we hear his word in the Eucharist. And we should remember that ultimately the Lord's word is himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Jesus ultimately is the Word that we are to receive, and we receive him in the Eucharist, the Word made flesh. The Eucharist is the place where Jesus sits, as it were, and dispenses himself to all who, like Mary, will sit at his feet in humility and receive him. And secondly, we have to orient all of the rest of our lives and our activities, our relationships, the way we spend our time, the way we spend our money, orient all the rest of our lives, everything, within the range of those things that are passing away. We must orient all of it to the one thing needful for ourselves and for others. In other words, not only must we sit at the feet of Jesus and receive from him what he would give, but we must bring others to do the same thing too, because doing that is what constitutes salvation. Our words and our actions, our hospitality, our service, the meritorious things that we do, all that we do should ultimately be oriented toward this one thing, which alone will not be taken away, the Lord's word, which abides forever and is the wellspring of eternal life. "For he who eats this bread will live forever," said the Lord. And note that this has to do sort of with the dynamic of repentance and of forsaking all for the sake of the Lord. It's not just about forsaking our sins and the bad things in our lives, but forsaking those good things which would displace our devotion to the Lord. Everything has to be rightly ordered, and even the service of others can get in the way of the one thing needful. St. Augustine said, "The necessary burden of business will one day be taken away from you. For when you come into that far country, you will find no stranger to receive with hospitality, and will be taken away from you so that you may receive what is better even than service. When you die and stand before the Lord, trouble shall be taken away so that you may receive rest. You are now at sea, but then, like Mary, you will be in the harbor. For the sweetness of truth is eternal, and it is increased in this life for those who receive the Lord's word, and in the next life it will be made perfect, never to be taken away. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.